Have any of you ever been in a desert? Maybe out in the western United States, maybe someplace else in the world. Or even if you've not been in the desert, have you ever been to the high plains when you get out into parts of New Mexico and Colorado where you look and it just seems like all you see is a lot of brown and a lot of dust and a lot of not much. You look around and it just feels dead. Have you ever felt like in your life, you're in the middle of a dead place with the sun beating down on you like you're in the middle of a dry, dry desert? Have you ever felt as lifeless as a desert? Or like in those old cartoons where they'd always have that cow skull sitting out there in the middle of the dust? You know what I'm talking about. Well, some of you do at least. When have you felt dry and dead? Maybe when someone who you thought was your beloved said to you, "I don't love you anymore." Or if they said, "Maybe I never loved you." When that happens, you can feel like dry death. Or maybe when you've put your faith in a job that seemed like it was going to be the perfect fit, and then somebody says, "We don't need you anymore." Or this plant or this office isn't going to be open anymore. That can feel like a dry death. Maybe there was a friend or a loved one or a partner or a sibling who you trusted and they betrayed you. That can feel like a dry death. Anytime when hopes and dreams and plans, anytime when it all falls apart, we can feel dry. We can feel dead inside. We can feel like a bunch of bones bleached by the blazing hot Middle Eastern sun. So hold that image as we think about this passage today. Now, Ezekiel was a priest of God. He was a priest of Yahweh, or we would just say God. He was from the kingdom of Judah. And as a priest, he served God's temple in Jerusalem, so he probably lived somewhere in and around Jerusalem. In the year 597, the king in Jerusalem rebelled against his overlord, the king of Babylon. He broke a treaty, and the Babylonians came, and they surrounded Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had to surrender. And Ezekiel and perhaps 4,600 other individuals were gathered up by the Babylonians from Jerusalem and from the surrounding kingdom, and they were told, "You're leaving." And they were marched more than 500 miles across the Middle East, over plains and through deserts, and down into what's now Iraq, and they were told, "You will be exiles here, and you will be living here from now on." Exiles is just a nice way of saying, you're now prisoners of war, and this is your new home. And if that wasn't bad enough, about 11 years later, in the year 586 before Christ, the king that the Babylonians had put in charge of Jerusalem rebelled again. And this time the Babylonians didn't just force the city to surrender. They burst through the walls, they captured the king, they killed his children, and they carried thousands of more people off as prisoners of war, and they burned God's temple to the ground. And the kingdom of Judah was no more. We know that Ezekiel had this vision from God after he had been taken to Babylon. It may have been he had this vision from God after the temple had been burned down as well, but we're not entirely sure. But the point is, for the people of Judah, it felt like it was all over. They felt dead. Not just dead, they felt like there was no life. There was no hope. They were prisoners of war, and for those people who were prisoners of war, few, if any of them, were ever going to see their homeland again. There are psalms that have come down to us and recorded in the Bible that were written by some of these exiles, and it talks about how the Babylonians would mock them. And it appears that some of these exiles were forced to be slaves and servants in the houses of the people who had captured them. And it wasn't just that they'd been defeated. They had been told for years that God would always defend Jerusalem because that was where God's temple was. They had been told something that was not from God. It was from some people who claimed to speak for God, but it was a lie. They had been told, "You'll be safe." And yet what they'd been told about God was shattered. I've never been in anything like that situation, but I can understand why Ezekiel and the exiles felt like a valley full of dry bones. They felt like there was never going to be any hope again. But fellow children of God, there is hope. There is good news. God never abandons us no matter what happens. God never stops loving us no matter what happens. God never gives up on us no matter what happens. Our God is mighty. Our God is loving. Our God brings healing and wholeness to people. Even if we're in a terrible mess that we ourselves have created, God offers us hope and life. God loves us, and there's nothing we can do about it. So God, for Ezekiel's people 2,600 years ago, and for every human being down to the present, wanted to send a message of hope. And so the prophet Ezekiel had a vision from God. Now, we don't know exactly how this vision occurred. Maybe he was asleep and he had a dream vision from God. Maybe he fell into a trance while he was awake. Maybe it was something else. But Ezekiel had a vision to give his people hope and to give us hope in the midst of the struggles of life. Ezekiel felt suddenly transported, and he was placed in a valley full of human bones. A valley full of bones that had been picked clean by the vultures and bleached white by the hot desert sun. It was a valley where it seemed like nothing could live. And that valley was how Ezekiel's people felt, and frankly, it might be how some of us have felt at some points in our life. It might even be how we feel today. Yet through Jesus Christ, God says that we are to have life and to have it abundantly. We are to have a blessed life, a life of purpose and wonder and joy. God reaches out to every human being down to this day, and God asks us the same question that God asked Ezekiel. Mortal, can these bones live again? It's a rhetorical question. Yes, they can. Nothing can take us from God's love. Nothing can keep God's love from us. God will never stop offering us life. God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. And before Ezekiel's eyes in this vision, the bones started to come together. Head bone connected to the neck bone connected to the backbone. At least a few of the others. Some of you all learned that song in Sunday school or vacation Bible school when you were kids. The bones joined together, and the soft tissues returned, and the bodies were whole again, but they were not alive yet. And then God said to Ezekiel, I need you to prophesy to the breath. Breath is an interesting word in Hebrew. The word is ruah, and it's got three meanings. It means breath, like the breaths that we all have to take every moment of our lives. But it also means wind, and it also means spirit, as in the Holy Spirit of God, the powerful presence of God. And I offer to you today that that kind of makes sense, because breath gives us physical life, right? We need to breathe to be alive. It gives us the power to be alive. And wind is also a powerful thing. Wind can push a ship thousands of miles across the ocean. Wind can turn those giant turbines and make kilowatts of electricity. And also that word is the word for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the most powerful at all, because through the Holy Spirit, God invites us to have life, to have life abundant, to have life worth living. Invites us to have purpose, even when we feel like a bunch of dead, dry bones in a valley. The breath, the love, the power of God brought those bodies back to life, and they stood on their feet, and they were a multitude. And God said, this is like the people of Judah. You may feel like you're dead, but you're not dead, because I am still with you. No matter what occurs, God's love is still with us and offers us life. Maybe 650, 700 years after Ezekiel, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And 600 years after Ezekiel, God gave us the supreme example, the sign that God's power, God's breath can overcome death and brokenness. For when Jesus Christ, God's child, had been broken due to sin and due to death, he rose again, the supreme example showing us that we can have life and that even this broken and dry and seemingly dead world can live again the way God created it to live. So, fellow children of God, I offer you the good news today, spoken to us through the prophet long ago. Nothing can take God's love from us. Nothing can take God's life from us. God continues to reach out for us and offer us life in the midst of the difficulties and the death that seems to be all around us. God offers us love and hope and purpose. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are called back to life, to a life truly worth living, to a life that allows us to find our purpose, to be forgiven by God, to forgive each other, and to go out and transform this world in Jesus' name so that all of those around us can live with health and dignity and that everyone may know that they are a beloved child of God. The love of God can bring death back to life. The love of God has defeated death. The love of God through Jesus Christ is changing us. So today, God, we thank you for that love. May we feel it. May it transform us. And when we leave this place, may we share it with everyone we meet. Amen.